Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Brilliant. I was in Crawley with the congregation up there this morning. Great time. The guys are doing good there. So I know one or two of you from Crawley, well, one of you from Crawley tonight. But the guys are doing good up there. So a good feel, good atmosphere. God's doing some great stuff in people's lives. Do you want to grab your Bible? Turn to Ezekiel 36. If you don't have a Bible, hopefully somebody next to you might have one. I don't know if these things we can get on the screen or not. Scriptures and stuff, can you get them on the screen or is it not possible? Not, okay. Just want to share for a few minutes and something that I spoke about in Horsham a few weeks ago, but it's all part of our theme that God's taken us through as a church this autumn, which is about us being a people of love. And what does it mean to form us as a people of love? What does it mean to love God, be loved by God? What does it mean to love one another? What does it mean to love people in our own, in our world, in our own situations? Those that do know Jesus, maybe people that don't know Jesus, friends, family members, work colleagues, how do we express and live out the life that God has given us? And I want to look at a few verses tonight in the Bible that just, first of all, show us God's heart. So tonight's message is called God's Heart in Us. And we're going to look at a few verses that really describe, well, what is God's heart like? And if we know what God's heart is like, then we know the heart that he has actually put in us as people to love him, to love one another, and to love others as well. So I want to look at a few verses in Ezekiel 36, first of all, and three verses in that chapter, starting at verse 25. And this really initially shows God's heart for us as people, that he does stuff for us that we don't deserve. Right from the outset, most of us in this room would know that we don't deserve anything from God, because in our own abilities and strengths, we're just not good enough for God. But yet, because of the nature of God, because of his heart for us as people, he does things for us and he loves us and reaches out to us in a way that we don't deserve. And we're going to look at some of these things tonight and just maybe for some, remind us of how amazing God is. Maybe for others, this might be the first time that you hear about how good God is and how amazing he is. So I've been praying that God will show each one of us this evening something that we haven't known or seen before about God, whether you know him already tonight or whether you don't. I believe, and as I've been praying, that God would reveal himself, like, or show us something of himself where we realize, wow, God, you are so amazing, or wow, God, I didn't know you were like that. I didn't even know you could be personal or real or would even want to know me. So let's unpack some of these verses for a few minutes and have a look. In Ezekiel 36, verse 25, for the next few verses, he's speaking here, because it's from the Old Testament, he's speaking to the people of Israel in this context and saying what he's going to do for them to enable them to know him. Because God knows that in our own strengths and when this was written, he was speaking to the people of Israel, and he knew that they, in their own strength, couldn't reach God in their own efforts. So God's describing something to Ezekiel, who wrote this down and then told the people, this is what God's going to do for you, for us. And it actually represents what Jesus did on the cross a couple of thousand years ago. So let's have a look. It says here, I will sprinkle clean water on you, or pure water, and you will be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all the things that you worship, the wrong things, the idols and stuff. The people of Israel at that moment weren't walking with God. And God was saying, look, even though you're not walking with me, I'm still reaching out to you because I'm a God of love, because I'm a God that keeps my promises. And God will never, ever break a promise, because he is the word, if you like, the word of God that we're looking at. And so he'll always keep his promise. So he says to the people of Israel, I'm not going to break my promise. I'm not going to deal with you as you deserve. I'm going to show you mercy. And so he's saying here, I'm going to clean you or cleanse you. The word clean there means to shine, or it means I'm going to sweep away everything that is not clean. And I'm going to cause you to be unadulterated or uncontaminated. Or another meaning for that word is you're going to be innocent, as if you'd never done it, as if you'd never done anything against me. So these few verses here, God's saying, I'll sprinkle you with clean water, which is basically the Holy Spirit, and I will clean you or make you shine. You'll be uncontaminated. You'll be innocent. I'm going to sweep all the rubbish away. I'm going to make you holy like me. Wow. And then he says, and I will cleanse you from all impurities and from all your idols. They weren't living with God and for God at that moment, but yet God's heart still went out to them and said, I'm still going to pursue you, still going to go after you because I love you and I want you to walk with me. Then in verse 26, he says, what I'm going to do to enable you to walk with me is I'm going to give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. What is actually the word there? The word heart there is the same as mind. Heart, mind, a lot of the time in the Bible is the same thing. Because what's going on in your heart, you're going to be thinking about. What you're thinking about is what's in your heart. So the two are very connected. And so it says in here, I'll give you a new heart. What does it actually mean there? It means I'll give you a new center of kind of, or a new compass, a new center of gravity. I'm going to reorientate your life so I'm right at the center. I'm not out there somewhere that you're trying to reach and trying to attain to, but I'm going to, says here, give you a new heart. I'm going to come and live in you. I'm going to recenter your lives, if you like, and I'll put a new spirit in you, and I'll remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Basically, what I'm going to do is make you a new person. So where you can't reach me in your own effort, I'm going to come and do something so that you can actually know me. Christianity is the only faith on the planet where God actually comes and does something for mankind. Every other religion or every other faith says that you have to do something to be good enough for God in some way. You have to attain something or behave in a certain way to be good enough for God to accept you. Whereas the God in the Bible, if we can put it this way, the one true living God, he says that I am holy, we're not, and we can't reach God in our own efforts. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves acceptable or good enough for him. And so because his nature, his character is one of love. The nature, the very essence of love is to give. The nature and the essence of love is to be merciful. The essence and nature of love is to be gracious, to be kind. And so God had to act according to his nature. And his nature is to love, to give, to show mercy, to be gracious, to be kind, generous, good. And so he's saying here, I'm going to take out this heart of stone and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh because I want to come and live in you. And so I'm going to deal with all the things, the sin and the rubbish and the stuff that goes on in your life. I'm going to deal with that lot so that you can be forgiven, so you can be free from it and you can actually have a relationship with me and know me in an intimate, personal way. And he says, I'll put my spirit in you and move you or cause you to follow my decrees or my commands and walk in my ways. Don't you love that? God, who's the creator of the universe, of the heavens and the earth, he says, you haven't got to try and reach me. I'm going to come down and reach you. And all the stuff that stops you from knowing me, I'm going to deal with all of that. I'm going to deal with addictions. I'm going to deal with pain. I'm going to deal with hurts. I'm going to deal with rejection. I'm going to deal with sickness. I'm going to deal with all the stuff that goes on in people's lives. And I'm going to take that to the cross. And that's what the cross represents. I'm going to take it to the cross because there's a divide. When you don't know God, it's like there's a separation between you and God. And many of us in the room, We at some point gave our lives to God. And at that moment, it's like we crossed over from being separated from God into a relationship with him. How does that happen? Because Jesus filled the gap with himself hanging on the cross. And everything that stopped us from knowing God, Jesus took upon himself and said, I'll become guilty and I'll take all the stuff that's been going on in your life and I'll take that upon myself. and take the punishment of that, the consequences of that, so that you can be forgiven, so that you can be set free, so that you can then come across from being separated from God, and you can come across into relationship, come into life, as the Bible talks about, from death to life, or from darkness into light. The Bible says that God is light, and he wants us to know him in that way. There's no darkness in God at all. So I think it's an incredible heart that God has for us, that we don't deserve him at all. But yet, because we were created, the Bible says, by him and for him, he doesn't want us to stay separated from him. His heart is beating for every person on the planet to know him personally. God doesn't have favorites. He doesn't say, well, I like him more than her, or her more than him, or them more than this lot, or these guys more than the other. God's heart is for mankind. The Bible said he died once on the cross, and for all, for every person. That's his heart. It beats, it pounds every day, wanting people to know him, wanting people to be free from the stuff that holds them down, that causes them to be separated from him. So what kind of heart does God have then? If that's what he's done for us, what's the heart that motivates him? What is he like to be motivated like that? Exodus chapter 34, a couple of chapters before that you've been looking in. Exodus 34, it says, he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the Lord. This is God passing in front of Moses. It says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, but abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and then forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. They're not three words that we use a lot in our culture, are they? Wickedness, rebellion, and sin. People don't talk about those. They're three maybe non-cool words to use. But why is it important that we understand God is like that? Because that's how God sees stuff. Okay, and let's fill it in a moment. It says, the Lord, the compassionate, merciful, and gracious God. What's the first aspect of God's love that you encounter? His mercy. God doesn't treat us how we deserve. Because he's a God of love, part of the nature of his love is to be merciful. The word mercy actually means to let us off, to not treat us as we deserve. That's God's mercy. He says, I'm going to let you off. Wow. But then it says, he's a compassionate, which means merciful. He's compassionate and gracious God. Now, what's God's grace? Grace is God giving us himself, giving us everything of himself that we don't deserve. So mercy deals with all the stuff over here that stops us from knowing him. So his mercy lets us off. But yet his grace then gives us everything of who he is. Amazing, eh? And that's the kind of heart that God has for us. Then it says he's slow to anger. Loads of people think that God is just angry. God's up in the sky, annoyed, angry, just, oh, the people on earth, look at them. Nah. You know, the Bible says he's slow to anger, but abounding in love. Wow, I don't know what you think abounding means. Abounding to me isn't just a little, oh yeah, nice, sort of lovey-dovey stuff. When somebody abounds in something, they've got energy, they're enthusiastic, it's like it's limitless, it's like it's powerful, it has some kind of force to it, and it's like God's love is abounding, it's powerful, it's full of energy and life, it's dynamic, because that's what God is like. So he's slow to anger, but yet he abounds in love. He'd much rather love and release stuff than get angry and annoyed with stuff. Slow to anger, but abounding in love and faithfulness. So he abounds in faithfulness. The word faithfulness means to be full of faith, to be faithful, committed to. So God is committed to you and I. He's committed to keep his word to mankind. Whether people know him or whether they don't know him, God is committed to keep his word. When you step from being out of relationship with God into relationship with God, you come into a relationship of love, a love that will never, ever let you down. The Bible describes God's love as unfailing. It cannot fail because he is love and God cannot fail. Yet over here, although God loves us, We're not living in a relationship of love with God because we haven't come to God saying, God, I need you. I recognize you're real. I realize what you've done for me. And I know you love me, but I can't be in a relationship of love with you because I haven't entered into that relationship with you. So I want to respond to the amazing goodness and love that you've shown me, the mercy that I don't deserve, because you haven't treated me as I deserve, but you give me an opportunity to respond to your amazing goodness and love. And so, God, I recognize there's stuff in my life that I need to be forgiven of and free from. And I know I need a peace. I need that total well-being in my life. And God, you're the only one that can do that. So I want to respond to your amazing love, your amazing goodness, your amazing compassion and mercy. And I want to live in the good of that. I don't want to be outside of that, trying to struggle in life in my own way, trying to get it to happen. Actually, God, I know I need you. And then God itself talks about what, again, God's heart, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness. Wow, God is so amazing. There's no sin that anybody can do that is outside of God's ability to forgive. Some people think, oh, I've done too much for God to forgive. No, there's not a person on the planet that's beyond God's ability to forgive, heal, make whole, and give life to. Then in Galatians chapter 5, what else is God's heart like? It says the fruit of the Spirit. God's Spirit is love, joy. He's got a heart of joy, peace, total well-being. Wow. I don't know what it was like when you gave your life to the Lord. I'm sure there's probably some amazing stories in the room of what God has done in people's lives. But you know that the difference before you knew God and now, would you say now you have a total well-being in that sense? You're at peace, not just in your head, but in your soul. You have total well-being that before you knew God, you just didn't have. And you wouldn't swap it for anything, would you? I don't know, would you? You know? And it says here, but the fruit of the Spirit, the nature and the heart, the character of God is love, joy, peace, total well-being, patience. Wow, God is so patient, eh? Some of us might have short patience, but God has amazing patience. He says he's kind, he's good, he's faithful, gentle, self-control. That's the nature of God's character, the nature of his love for us. Now, if this is God's heart of love, and this is God's heart of love in us, then it must be possible for us to express this nature and this character in our lives. I think it's amazing. You know, God doesn't say, I want you to come and know me, but now live this life in your own effort, your own strength. He's saying, I come and live in you so that my life is in you, can be at work in you, but also so that my life can be expressed through you. So that you can love in the way that I love. You can be merciful in the way that I'm, you give compassionate or gracious or kind or whatever. And it's realizing, God, I can't do that in my own strength. And he says, no, exactly. That's why I've come and given you my life to enable you to live in the good of who I am. Let's just have a look. What else is God's heart like? What is he like towards us? Psalm 139. Some amazing verses here. David's writing these verses, not from a point of view that God's policing him and kind of watching him every move. He's writing what we're going to read now from Psalm 139 because he's amazed at God's love, God's faithfulness, God's goodness. And so he says here, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive every thought I have from afar. You discern when I go out, when I lie down. You're familiar with all my ways. He's saying this because he's like, God, you're the creator of heaven and earth. You're the eternal God. You're awesome. You're amazing. But yet, you know every little thing about me. You're concerned. You're with me all the time. You search me. You know me. You when I sit, when I rise, when I go in, when I come out, every word on my tongue, you know it completely, even before I've spoken it. You hem me in behind and before. Man, he's saying that's not a restricted thing. What he's saying is, God, you look after me. There's nowhere I can go where you're not already there, he goes on to say. He says, such knowledge is too wonderful to me. This is massive, God, that you're interested in me. Surely that you're too busy doing stuff for so many other people elsewhere. You haven't got time for me. But yet David's saying, God, I'm blown away that you've got time for me, that you think about me, that you know every little detail about my life. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Wow. Where can I go, he says, from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? He's not asking that because he wants to get away. He's basically saying, there's nowhere I can go where you're not already there, because you go before me, you go behind me, you hem me in, you're looking after me. God's amazing, isn't he? What a massive heart God has for us. I go up to the heavens, you're there. Down to the depths, you're there. On the wings of the dawn, the far side of the sea, even there, he says, your hand will guide me. Then it goes on to say, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. There are no accidents. You're not an accident here. God knit you together in your mother's womb. He knew you before you even knew who you were yourself. Wow. He's been watching you, looking over your life. For some, we've responded already. For others, maybe tonight, you think, wow, I didn't realize God was like this. I just thought it was some religious thing. You go to church on a Sunday, do the thing. It's like, no, God's after a relationship. He wants us to know him. He's real. He's alive. He's a 24/7. This could be the most amazing relationship you could ever have on the planet. And awesome knowing God. And it goes on and on and on. My frame, when I was being formed, was hidden. But when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth or in the womb, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Wow, did you realize that there's a story, the story of your life that's already written down? That does your head in, doesn't it? Because God's outside time. So he already knows our life from the beginning to the end. There's a book that's all written down already. Oh, wow. But it's written from what you lived and how you lived. God has amazing plans and purpose for every one of our lives. To bless us, to prosper us, for us to, in that way, in prospering in and have well-being and health in your mind, your soul, in your whole being, in your life, to prosper in that way. But we make choices that determine what that life looks like as it unfolds. See, every one of us is in a story right now, the story of your life. And as I've already said, there's probably some amazing stories in the room of what God has done in our lives. But that story is still unfolding. Everybody in here that knows Jesus, you've got an amazing story of what God has done. From the moment you were born till today, 17th of November, you might have known God for many, many years, but that story is relevant. Because some people want to know, does God work? Does being a Christian or a follower of Jesus, does it work? And you know, when you hear somebody's story, they might have walked with Jesus for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years or longer. And you're like, wow, you know, God's real. It works. Same time, it's important to hear the stories of somebody only knowing Jesus a few weeks. And maybe their life was pretty tough and they've been through some stuff and didn't know how to get out of it. And stuff was not going good. And when they came to know Jesus, even a few weeks ago, it's like God's amazing forgiveness, healing, restoration in their lives. And that testimony of God's alive now, and he's just been changing my life, and he's real, so real, this is brilliant. And all those stories are just as important. And the story of your life is relevant for probably some other people in this room, but also other people out there in your world, the people you know. That Aaron said last week, we have about a dozen people in our world that we spend more time with than others. This is God's amazing heart for us. So God wants us to live from this place of love with him. And he wants us to walk in that love and know him in that way. We haven't got to try and do this in our own strength. Last couple of verses. Romans chapter 5, it says that God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he's given us. God has poured out his love by his Spirit. So it's something of his Spirit that he does in us. Then Proverbs 4, verses 23 and 24. The writer here in Proverbs understands the importance of the heart. So if God has taken out a heart of stone and he's put a heart of flesh here, the writer understands the importance of the heart. He says, above everything else, he says here, guard your heart. Why? Because it says it is the wellspring of life. Wow. So there's a lot of stuff that goes on in life, right? But yet, right here in the heart of Proverbs, it says, above everything else, above all the other things that could go on and that you could do, guard your heart. Because God has taken out the hardness. He's taken out all the rubbish and he's given you a new heart. You become a new person, and the heart is the wellspring of life. Everything flows from the heart. So he's saying, guard this thing. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. And one example he gives to help do that is put away perversity or bad talk or whatever from your mouth, and keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Why? Because the writer knows everything flows from the heart. Words can be destructive. Words can destroy. Words can kill. In that sense, in terms of what the effect it can have on people's souls and people's minds and everything. But he's saying, let's guard this wellspring of life, this heart that God has put in us, this new heart. Then in Proverbs, Psalm 19, last verse, in Psalm 19, verse 14, may the words of my mouth and the meditation, or the thoughts, that means, of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Wow. So David's writing here, may the words of my mouth, because they flow out from my heart, and the thoughts, the meditation, the thoughts of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Wow. See, David understands, again, this everything flows from the, in Psalms, that he understands everything flows from the heart. So he's saying, God, even the thoughts of my heart, I want to be pleasing to you. Wow. So it's not just all the stuff that comes out of my mouth, but actually all the stuff that goes on in there. God, even my mind, my thinking, my heart, what I mull over, what I think about, what goes on in there, and all of that nobody else might see. He said, even that, God, I want it to be pleasing to you, because you've done so much amazing stuff in my life. I want to guard what you've done in me, but so that what then flows through my life is mercy and grace and love and compassion and kindness, gentleness. It's your nature and character flowing through me towards other people. So I want to guard this heart, this new thing you've done in me, the new person that I am in you. I want to guard this thing because it's the wellspring of life. There are many people out there that don't know Jesus. Family members, friends, work colleagues, people we're going to be with maybe later tonight, tomorrow, this week. Many people that they will only discover Jesus by meeting you and I. They're only going to know Jesus by coming across people that shine, as it said, the first verse we looked at, that actually live in this way. The kind of attitudes that we have towards them when the pressure's on at work. You know, maybe the boss is kind of, come on, we've got to up the tempo. We've got to up the customer service. We've got to up you know, the way we treat customers. We've got to up the output. We've got to up the profits. And everybody's getting kind of pressured and hassled. And it's how are we in the middle of that, where everybody else starts, oh, the boss is this, the boss is that, the boss is the other. And actually we're in there going, we're not taking on that attitude and that spirit. Why? Because we're merciful, gracious, kind, loving, compassionate, whatever it might be. Sticking out a little bit, jutting out in a good way. It's demonstrating the nature and the character of Christ. Sorry, this is the last verse. In Luke 6, it says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. And the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. You know, God is a good God, and what he does in our lives is good. So what he wants to flow from our lives is his goodness. You know, just to finish before we pray, it's like, yeah, that's great, Clive, you know, what God has done. It's great that he's given us his heart, he's given us himself, but sometimes I don't live and express his heart and his nature and character in the way that you're talking about. Well, what is that then? It's about walking out the Christian life. It's about walking out this relationship with God. You see, the day you gave your life to Jesus, say here, and you responded, you surrendered your life, really, and you said, God, I can't do this on my own. I need you. I want to know you. And God came to live in your life. You knew you're forgiven. You got a clean start. It's like total well-being kind of moment that you had. God gave you himself fully at that moment. He didn't give you a little bit, or just enough for the next few days, and when you're good enough with that, I'll give you a bit more of myself. He gave himself fully, 100%. And then it seems to then we've got to walk that out. We've got to learn, how do I live in the good of what he has done here? How do I live out his heart, his nature, his character in that way? Well, the day you surrender to God, something changed. The old heart went out, a new heart came in. And you began to think differently. You began to treat people differently. But you know, as we walk, there are sometimes circumstances, pressures, moments in life, situations that arise, conflicts, trouble, various things along the way. And sometimes if we don't meet those or respond to those in a right way and meet those with a good heart, and we begin to react, or we begin to get upset, or we allow our hearts to be impacted or even contaminated in some way if we don't deal with something. And then we find we have I want to be like that, but I've got this thing. And that's where that walking this thing out is constantly surrendering to God. Saying, God, I want to express your nature and your character. In order to do that, I want to continue to surrender myself to you so that more of your nature and character can flow through my life. God, I don't want to have those reactions. I don't want to think in that way. So I submit all of that lot to you. And God, I want to continue, and I choose to walk in your way. So it's really a constant place of being surrendered to him so that his life can flow through our lives. I think God's heart for us is amazing, don't you? Incredible heart for us. Mercy, compassion, gracious, slow to anger, but rich in love, abounding in love. The Bible says he lavishes his grace. Man, God is a lavishing God, lavishes us with himself. So let's stand together, shall we? We're going to take a few moments just to pray and respond to him this evening. Maybe some of you here tonight, you don't know Jesus, and you think, wow, this is the first time I've heard something like that. Or you might be sitting there thinking, well, I don't know, you guys are a bit interesting, Christianity is the fastest growing faith in the world. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? More people are coming to know God than following any other idea or philosophy or whatever there is out there. It might not be the fastest growing thing in the West at the moment, but it will be. Overall in the world, knowing God in the Bible is the fastest growing faith, in the world. So there's a reality of God in our lives already. Firstly, let's just talk to the Lord, shall we, tonight? And let's kind of talk out loud, though, rather than just quietly. But just thank him for his amazing heart towards you. Just thank him for it, that he's been so merciful. We don't deserve him, but because his nature and character is to be merciful, because that flows from love. It's like, God, I don't deserve you, but you've still forgiven me. You still lavish yourself on me. I'm just overwhelmed with how good you are, how amazing you are, Father. Thank you, Jesus, your incredible goodness, kindness, faithfulness that you've shown me and you continue to show me that I can walk in. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the freedom. Thank you for the liberty. Thank you for the confidence that gives to know you, to walk with you, that you're constantly giving and encouraging and strengthening me. I thank you that if you did something on the cross 2,000 years ago for me, before I was even around, how much more is that going to affect me now when I can respond to you and live in the good of that? Wow. It shows it's not down to our performance, God's love. It's down to his nature and character and how good he is. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe some of you here tonight, you don't know Jesus. You're like, is God really that real? Yeah, he is. First and foremost, God wants people to know him. He wants people to be at peace in their soul. He wants them to know him. Every person on the planet is actually created to know God, to have relationship with him. That's really the purpose of somebody's life, is actually to know God and have relationship with him. Because we've been created by him and for him, to know him. The only place you really find true purpose and hope and destiny and reason for life and why my life matters, what's it all about, you only find that in a relationship with God. You only find real peace in your soul when you know God. Maybe there's some of you tonight, you saying, I want to know God. Or you might be saying, I want to find out a bit more before I kind of respond to God. I need to check this out a bit more. Maybe somebody in here, you're like, this, I know God's real. What you're talking about is like something's happening in me now while I'm standing here. I can feel something in this room. Something's going on in my heart right now. What you're saying sounds too good to be true. It is good, and it is true. And it's not based on you having to try and be acceptable to God. God comes and makes every one of us acceptable to Him. Because He's a God of love, compassion, mercy, grace. He's awesome. We could pray something. And you might have a heart response tonight, which would be great. It might be this simple. God, I don't know you, but I want to find out about you. That might be in your heart tonight. God, I don't know you at this moment. But if you really are like that bloke says you are at the front, then I want to find more out about you. If you're really like that, then actually I wouldn't mind knowing you. If that's what's going on in your heart now, just say to Him, God, would you just show yourself to me? Would you just prove who you are to me? Doesn't matter how you've done that with anybody else in the room, but if you're real in the way that guy's been talking about tonight, then show me who you are for me so that you become real in my life. If that's what's going on in your heart tonight, it'd be great just to have a chat with you in a few minutes when we've closed. You might have come with somebody, friend, family member, I don't know. Maybe you could chat with them. I want to find out more. How do I know God? How do I respond to God? I don't just want us to pray a quick prayer tonight where it's like, well, thank you, Jesus, I'm forgiven. Ask me into, I want you to come into my life. And it's a bit more than that. It's more than a quick prayer. He's saying, God, I want to give my whole life to you, but I want you to give me all of who you are to me. I want to know you, Jesus. If that's what's going on in your life right now, you're ready to give your life to Him. Father, I just pray for people here tonight that don't know you. Thank you that you just show them who you are. You become real in a way that is so relevant for them. Father, I thank you for everybody else in here that does know you. Father, I thank you that through your word tonight, as we go into this week and everything you want to do through us to impact other people's lives, Father, I thank you that every one of us would live in the good of who you are, what you've done. I thank you that you have made us acceptable to you. We haven't got to try and make ourselves acceptable. You've done it. You've done it. You've done it. You've done it. You have done it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe just ask Him, Father, I want to live in the good of everything you've done this week. I thank you for those moments, like Aaron spoke about last week when he was here. Those moments that we might miss sometimes, but it's a conversation here, a conversation there. And my wife went for a walk with somebody earlier in the week. After hearing the message last Sunday, she went for a walk with somebody, an early morning walk, sort of speed walk thing. And while they were on a walk, somebody came the other way that I hadn't seen for quite a while, and it just seemed to be like they bumped into him, but they stopped and had a great conversation. And while they were having this conversation, it was the next day after Sunday, it was last Monday, Jane had in the back of her mind, remember what was said yesterday, you might come across situations and recognize this is a God moment. And that following morning, early in the morning, they ended up having a chat with this person, and it was, Jane said, I haven't seen them for a while, they're going through some stuff. And it was just great to be able to talk with them and reconnect and actually say, come on, let's meet up and let's see what God wants to do. So there's those kind of things. Maybe some of you have got stories like that that happened in the last week. So Father, we thank you that you go before us, you're with us, you hem us in, you look after us, you protect us. Thank you that your hand is upon us, Jesus. But Father, we ask you, just ask him right now, Father, would you work in me and through me this week? Just talk to him for a moment. Father, work in me and through me this week that other people's lives can be impacted by you through me this week, every day. I want to be available to you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Amen. Amen. Just turn to somebody next day. Isn't God incredible?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.